taxpayers' winners will be able to experience having their winning artwork highlighted in the 2008 Stanislaus County Recycling Calendar. The calendar will be finished at the end of the year and is distributed throughout the county to the schools, cities, libraries, county officials, and numerous public events. Kids, when the calendar arrives, I'll call you up and let you know and find out how much you want them to mail you and then make excellent Christmas presents. So we wouldn't be here tonight without the support from some very important people who I want to thank. First, I want to thank the teachers. I understand the pressures you are under to teach to the state standards, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to incorporate environmental education into your curriculum. It's obvious by looking at your poster entries that you took the time to teach and thus raise the awareness level of your students on how to be responsible citizens and environmental stewards of our planet. By giving our kids the opportunity to participate in poster contests, they are now in a position to teach others. Next, to the parents of our winners. Thank you so much for being here tonight and taking the time to support and share this exciting time with your child. This is a moment they will remember all their lives, and it's made more special and memorable because you are here to celebrate achievement and share their excitement. Thank you. And last, to you winners. Thank you for your beautiful creative artwork about recycling. I am so proud of what you have done, and you should be very, very proud of yourselves too. Your posters will be teaching thousands of people in Stanislaus County about recycling and taking care of our earth. You might not have ever thought of yourselves as an artist and a teacher, but guess what? Each of you is an artist, a teacher, and a winner. And when it comes right down to it, this is your calendar. I just put it all together. It's going to be a very exciting time between now and the end of the year when your calendar comes out. And I want you to know that I'll be staying in touch with each of you and your families so you will always know what's going on. You guys are awesome. Okay. Are you ready for some awards?
Okay, let's go then.
Okay. In our kindergarten through first grade division, third place from Keys Elementary in Keys, teacher Mrs. Vanderlinden, Kiana Jones. Okay, in second place in the kindergarten to first grade division, from Hunt Elementary in Newman, teacher Mrs. Lynn Harris, Miss Vanessa McGrady. In first place, kindergarten to first grade, from LaGrange Elementary in LaGrange, teacher Kathy Bohan is Chance Stormett.
I don't think Chance is here tonight.
Okay, on to the second, third grade division winners. In third place, from Ron Renner Elementary in Newman, teacher of the after-school program, Laura Lopez, is True Isabella Lopez. In second place, second through third grade, Keys Elementary in Keys, teachers Mrs. Kraft and Mrs. Heidman, Kayla Matthews. And in first place in the second and third grade division, again from Keys Elementary in Keys, teacher Mrs. Hankel is Miss Sadie Jones. Alrighty, fourth and fifth grade division winners. In third place from Knights Ferry School in Knights Ferry, teacher Mrs. Holcomb, Caitlin Van Ryn. In second place in the fourth and fifth grade, again from Keys Elementary in Keys, teacher Ms. Fitzgerald is Noah Melrose. Okay, Noah's not here. Okay, moving on to the sixth and eighth grade division. In third place, first place in the fourth and fifth grade, again from Knights Ferry School in Knights Ferry, teacher Mrs. Holcomb is Alyssa Bays. Okay, sixth to eighth grade division, in third place, from Teal Middle School in Empire, teacher Mr. Bentley, Miss Ashley Dolan. Second place for 6th through 8th grade from Denair Middle School in Denair, teacher Ms. McFarlane, Alexis Ashlock. And the first place winner in the 6th through 8th grade division from Teal Middle School in Empire, teacher, Ms. Mulvihill, is Saranjit Morandi.
Congratulations to all of our artists and great awards. Very nice posters. I had a chance to see them. Moving on to our second presentation this morning, this evening's 2007 Outstanding Citizen Awards. Marky.
Good evening, board members, Chairman O'Brien, I'm sorry. Margie Palomino, Director of the Department of Aging and Veteran Services. First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate, on behalf of your agency on aging, our five outstanding senior citizens who will be recognized tonight. We are very proud of them. We are very proud of their contribution that they have made in this community. And thanks to their hard work and dedication and commitment, they have changed the lives of hundreds of San Luis County residents. And for that, we would like to thank them. Next to me, and I would like to introduce to you, our first Vice President of the Commission on Aging, Jill Pladjic, who will be presenting the Senior Award winners for 2007.
Thanks, Margie. And in case you're wondering why we don't have the first Vice President, Mickey Peabody is off cruising. Tough job, huh? Anyway, yes, the month of May is known throughout the nation as Older Americans Month. And we in Santa Claus County have come together to celebrate that month with all kinds of activities. I think I was here a few weeks ago giving you the list of activities that we do to celebrate. And we kick it off, though, with tonight, with this celebration and recognition of some of the most outstanding senior citizens you could ever meet in your life. They're wonderful people. And I'm very proud to be here this evening to introduce them to the community. The community probably knows them a lot better than I do, huh? I haven't been here very long. Anyway, I will start off by introducing Ms. Pat Graham from Oakdale. Pat? Mrs. Graham? Margie's going to escort you up. Mr. Bill Speary. And Mr. John Engel from Modesto. Mr. Speary, by the way, lives in Houston. I forgot to mention that. Ron Enesburian. Amazing. Okay. From and Miss Lila Huff. Lila? Lila Huff. Okay. Thank you.
Well, congratulations to all five of you this evening. Each supervisor is going to present the award for the member from their district, and we will start with District 1, which is my district, and Pat Graham. And I have a couple of great things here about Pat. Pat and her late husband, Bill, moved to Oakdale in 1956. Her volunteering began soon after and has continued through today. Pat was also a teacher at Riverbank High School for 14 years. When her children were in school, Pat's house became a drop-off point for many different events and drives. As I was reading through this resolution I'm going to present Pat, I came across a phrase that was used several times. That phrase is, Pat was and continues to, yada, yada, yada. One would need very fast roller skates to keep up with Pat today. Here are some of the activities Pat is still involved with. She's a founder and charter member of the Friends of the Library and continues to be an advocate for active participants in the library for 43 plus years. She's an active member of St. Mary's Church in Oakdale, having helped found St. Mary's Seniors Friends in 1984, serving on the parish council for 6 years, serving on the pastoral council of the Diocese of Stockton for 2 years, and serving on the social ministry of the church for the past 4 years. Pat continues to be an active member of Oakdale Christian Community Sharing for over 25 years. She has taught and continues to teach English as a second language to adults. Pat is currently serving her third term on the Oakdale Senior Commission, currently serving as vice president. She served 10 years as a member of the Oak Valley Hospital Auxiliary and 8 years as director of the Oakdale Senior Foundation. Pat is also an active member of the Oakdale CEPA, which is Santa Claus Elder Abuse Prevention Alliance, for 6 years. As you can see, Pat manages to keep busy, and the citizens of Oakdale and Santa Claus County are the better for all you do. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for selecting me through the area Agency of Aging. I have trouble with that, 3 A's. and Rosalie Osmond, who nominated me. I am thankful every day for all the blessings that God has given me, faith and friends and family, friends like Rosalie and all the others, and for all the people who do all the kinds of things that I don't like to do, my yard, my housekeeping, taking care of the car, managing finances, and those kinds of things, so that I can do the things I really enjoy doing. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill, it's your turn now. Bill has been in the Air Force at the end of Second World War. He's also a volunteer at the Boy Scouts. He was also active at the library. He's active in the church. Bill, you've been pretty active. You know, you're only about a block and a half away from where I live. Okay, and my wife keeps saying, we've got to get a room down there at the Samaritan Village. I'm sure it is. But on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, there's a resolution. It's my pleasure to present it to you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for this proclamation. I know that there are many people that live where I do at Samaritan Village that work as much as I do. I want to thank all of them. They're a wonderful bunch of people. I want to thank you folks for honoring an old man from Samaritan Village. Appreciate it.
I'm pleased to stand here tonight with John Engel. And Mr. Engel and I met back in October. I was out in the neighborhood knocking on doors trying to convince people to vote for me, and working with another person across the road. And when I met Mr. Engel and we found that we had a couple things in common, he convinced me for about 25 minutes of how important advancing vibrant communities was. And the person I worked with finished her block and came all the way up back to my block. But when I found out that you were the one that was being awarded from District 3 tonight, I was very pleased. And I want to thank you and acknowledge the years back in the 50s that you served your country in Korea. I want to thank you for all the people that you've helped through your career and now as you work with vibrant communities, the wheelchair ramps you build and the restrooms that you remodel so that people that are disabled and elderly can get around better, and the joy you bring to their lives. I want to tell you that I'm very pleased to recognize you as an outstanding senior, and I'm proud that you live in District 3. Congratulations.
Take the opportunity to thank Area Agency on Aging for this award. And secondly, I want to thank Advancing Vibrant Community for giving me the opportunity to serve. Thank you.
Hi there, Ron. I've had the opportunity to know Ron Immersion for a number of years. Probably longer than either one of us would like to acknowledge. But it is a great pleasure in presenting to you this Outstanding Seniors Award. There are so many things on here, and you were a volunteer for the United Way for 12 years. You're involved with the Children Impact Council for 4 years. You're chairman. You've spent countless hours, your 7 years, on the board of directors and past president of the Julian Foundation of Children. You've been involved with the Stanislaw Parents in Education, currently serving on the board. You've also been involved in other foundations. You've served on the St. Mark Cares program for 3 years. You've been involved with Modesto Relays, for which that money's been donated to many organizations within the community. And I'm not going to go any further than that, but there are many more. And I would just like to say that I want to thank you for sharing your life with the people of Stanislaw County. And I guess the best way to sum it up is to say thank you for you, Ron. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dick, very much. And I know we both qualify as seniors because we do go back a long way, but I certainly want to thank the Aging Council for this recognition. I think it's a lot easier to be a volunteer to be a Board of Supervisors, so I congratulate all of you. But anyway, my base is out here. A lot of United Way agencies are here, and I guess the good news and bad news about this is the days seem to go by faster, which I'm not sure that's good as a senior, but anyway, it's very rewarding and enjoyable to do these types of things. So thanks, Dick, very much.
Congratulations. Well, hi, Lila. I know we talked a little bit yesterday about all your community service, so it's a pleasure today to present you with the Outstanding Senior Award. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to give the... Now I think I'm going to read a good part of it, though, because I want everybody to know what you've been doing for our community. Lila has been active in the Civitan Club for the Howard Training Center for over 20 years, participating in fundraising projects to benefit the Howard Training Center. She's also past president of the Service Club. As a Civitan member, you've volunteered for 8 years delivering daffodils to the American Cancer Society fundraiser to Memorial Hospital and Doctors Medical Center. Lila has been active in MICHAEL, the Modesto Institute for Continued Learning, for over 7 years. In fact, I was there one time, and I think we were with you there. So, you've been doing that for 7 years, and you served as president for 1 year, hospitality chairperson for 1 year, Young at Heart Instructors Assistant for 7 years, the Toastmasters Ice Cream Social Coordinator for 7 years, and President of the Talk It Out Toastmasters Club for 1 year. And you're now currently serving your second year as Sergeant of Arms for the Talk It Out Club. Lila has been actively involved in the Healthy Aging Summit since its inception 4 years ago. She has served as co-chair for the 2006 Summit, and is the co-chair for the 2007 summit as well. Yeah, well, you've certainly been active in your community, and I want to present this resolution to you today for your service to the community, and it's because of people like you that make Stanislaus County a better place to live.
Well, I'd like to thank the Area on Aging, and especially thank MICHAEL, which most of the people out there are MICHAEL members, and I really, really appreciate your backup. I thank all of you for this wonderful award. Thank you.
Our third presentation this evening is a legislative update by Don Peterson of Peterson Consulting.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I believe that Christine has distributed copies of the reports for us. Okay. I just want to hit the highlights of what's gone on in the legislature and try to cover for you what we've been doing on your behalf during this first 4.5 months of the legislative session. On the first page of the report, you'll notice that there are four bills introduced by your two senators on behalf of the county. First is SB 315 by Senator Cogdill. And this would allow the county to recover some costs from school districts for the inspection of school cafeterias. The second is also a Cogdill bill, which reassigns conflict of interest duties from the county clerk to the county office of the school superintendent. The third bill is one that we've tried on a number of occasions, Hope Springs Eternal. This bill would, in fact, change the formula for the distribution of property tax and addresses the so-called negative bailout problem, which costs this county millions of dollars each year. This year, the bill introduced by Senator Denham with a, I thought, a rather clever twist. Senator Denham put the implementation date after Governor Schwarzenegger leaves office in the hopes that perhaps the governor would sign the bill if we are successful in getting it to him. Senator Denham also intends, when the bill reaches the second house, the assembly, to amend into the bill some corrective language which with regard to the share of property tax that Stanislaus County gets. That's different from the negative bailout. The share is, and it would be an attempt to equalize the amount of money that county government gets here in Stanislaus as compared to cities and schools. But since it is a zero-sum game, we know that there will be some objection by the state, because the state would have to make up whatever money Stanislaus County got in addition to what it's getting now. Excuse me. The fourth bill is also introduced by Senator Denham on your behalf, and this states the legislative intent to appropriate Proposition 1E money to the Orstembo Creek project. Proposition 1E was passed by the voters last November by an overwhelming margin. It, along with Proposition 84, has provided almost $6.5 billion for flood control in the state of California. That distribution will come about mostly by the adoption of criteria, but Senator Denham and a number of other legislators have introduced specific bills dealing with specific projects so that they will be brought to the attention both of the Department of Water Resources and to the legislative budget subcommittees as they consider the appropriation. On the next page, page 2, we have highlighted two bills dealing with the Brown Act. Both of these bills would tighten up the Brown Act considerably. The first bill by Senator Romero, who is the chair of the Senate Public Safety Committee and the majority leader of the Senate, would prevent the distribution of a series of communications to members of a governing body so that the information that the public got would be the same as that which was distributed to the members of the governing body, and to make sure that intermediaries could not be used to discuss or deliberate any action pending before a governing body. So the intermediaries or documents could not be used as a substitute for public discussion of an issue. The second bill, introduced by Senator Negrete McLeod, who is the chair of the Senate Local Government Committee, would basically say that all information on an item appearing on your agenda must be distributed with the agenda. No subsequent distribution could take place. If it did, you would have to put the item over to a subsequent meeting so that the public would have access to the same information that you had. Senator Tom Harmon, who sits on the Senate Local Government Committee, and as a former member of a city council, said, in his view, that could be the source of great mischief by someone who wanted to just simply perpetually postpone action on an item before either a city council, a school board, or, in your case, a board of supervisors. Those two measures have been changed substantially from introduction. They're both sponsored by the California Newspaper Publishers Association. And we have worked with the authors and the sponsors, and I think they have been amended substantially. As Supervisor Montes knows, there's a maxim in Sacramento, never amend a bad bill, just kill it. Well, in this case, it's easier said than done. So I think we have tried to make it less onerous than either bill was when they were introduced. The next item on page 2 that I want to mention for just a minute is health care reform. There are three major proposals to, in effect, have universal health care in California. The one that is receiving the most prominence now is that which is proposed by the governor. The governor, if I can greatly oversimplify his proposal, the governor would propose taking some money which is now allocated to counties about $1 billion, reallocating it out on a basically a per capita basis to those counties that provide service and use the county mechanism, the county health provision mechanism to provide that service. A portion of your realignment funds would be, or other funds I should say, would be taken to pay for that kind of health care reform. It's estimated that about $11.5 million, used to speaking in Sacramento, $11.5 million taken from your apportionment of state funds for health care would be diverted for that purpose. The governor's proposal faces two competing proposals from the Democratic leadership, one by Senator Parada, the president pro tem, and one by Assemblymember Nunez, the speaker. And those proposals are in bills. Governor Schwarzenegger's proposal is not in a bill, so it's not yet been formally heard. The governor is holding regular meetings with stakeholders, including counties. He's listening. His people, I think, have done a great deal of work to try to grasp the essential problems that exist in trying to shift a major segment of health care from its current methodology to something new. I call it to your attention because I think it is something that, well, early in the year I thought it wasn't going to happen. I now think it could very well happen because as I move around the legislature and talk to members of the legislature, I find that almost all of them, Republicans and Democrats alike, want to be able to vote for some kind of a health care proposal. Now, I would be the first to point out there's a vast, vast difference between the proposals put forth by the Democratic leadership on one hand and the proposal put forward in the main by the Senate Republican caucus. The Senate Republican caucus proposal mostly would depend on some private transactions, mostly would depend on private agencies providing the services. So there's a vast difference, but there is a single purpose involved in all of it, and that is let's get the work, or let's get health care reform taken care of this year. On page 3, I talk about bonds. I obviously cannot go through each of the bond measures, but suffice to say here that despite the fact that Senator Denham and others have introduced individual pieces of legislation dealing with individual projects, both the leadership and the administration is really, I guess you can say, trying not to have that occur. They don't want to have a food fight among projects. I think that what we will see in the distribution of the bonds, when we really get down to it, is that the leadership will try to make sure that every member of the legislature gets a fair share of the bonds. Fair is defined differently for members of one party than for the other, but that every member of the legislature would get a fair share of the bonds as they are distributed. I should also point out that there are pending other bond measures, which I think a number of you should be interested in here in the county. Your Senator Dave Coghill has introduced SB 59, which would provide a huge bond measure to provide for two above-ground storage facilities, one in the north and one in the south. And while that bill failed in its first public hearing, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever but that Senator Coghill, with the governor's assistance, will resurrect that measure. Let me quickly mention prison reform on page 5. $6.1 billion in bonds to build new prisons, build new transition centers, assist in the building of new county jails. But this is a bond measure y'all are not going to get to vote on. This is a least purchased bond measure that does not require a vote by the general public. Supervisor Montes, former colleague Senator McClintock, went on at some length that this was a subterfuge to get around the requirements under the law to submit the issue to the voters. It's a major issue, particularly with some Republican members of the legislature, but I should also point out a number of Democrats opposed the measure. Simply, they thought that the money was not being spent wisely as it was proposed in the bond measure, And so it was a bipartisan vote in favor of the bond measure, but it was also a bipartisan vote against the bond measure. Finally, let me mention on page 7 the May revision, which was just released this week. The May revision has a number of surprises in it, although I guess from a political standpoint it might not be surprising. What would hit this county the hardest is the proposal by Governor Schwarzenegger to eliminate all of the subventions for the Williamson Act. In terms of total budget amounts, that's about $39.1 million, less than a rounding error in the Department of Motor Vehicles. But it is an issue that has been played before. It's a card that can be played, particularly with Valley legislators and others whose counties depend heavily on Williamson Act subventions, and the governor proposed to eliminate it. We have already begun to get letters from your legislators and others to the governor and to the budget subcommittees to make sure that this item does not pass in the fashion that the governor has suggested. We're going to be working hard to restore the Williamson Act, and I think that we probably will be successful this year as we were on 3 or 4 separate other occasions.
I might point out relative to the Williamson Act subvention that Stanislaus County's share of that $39 million is approximately $1.6 million. So we do stand to lose a substantial amount of discretionary revenue if, in fact, the governor's proposal is supported.
I think we stand a good chance of putting it back. I'm assuming that it that for all of the good policy intentions that were behind the discussion, nonetheless, it's a major bit of bait to dangle in front of legislators who have counties with major Williamson Act subventions that need to be filled. Yeah. I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions, Mr. Peterson?
I
have one. You talked about a phase 3. You talked about the transportation bond,
right.
But we wouldn't get any of that money. It says right here on page 3 that Cecil County has not been included in the distribution of these funds.
Well, in that paragraph refers to the Highway 99 money.
Highway 99.
There was $1 billion allocated to Highway 99. It was allocated basically to bring the highway system up to 4 lanes, and obviously that doesn't apply to you. There are other sections of the act which we think you will be eligible for money, and you'll note here SB 286, which allocates the streets and roads portion of Proposition 1B, would basically use a formula that has been worked out with a number of county folks, including county engineers and folks who have participated. And it's a formula that's been used before. Stanislaus County will get a share of that. I don't know exactly how much you will get out of that, but you will get a share out of that. I hesitate to point out, though, Supervisor Mayfield, and the next item, SB 748, which is the so-called self-help pot, which is another $1 billion, and that money will go to those counties which have passed voter-approved sales taxes or voter-approved bridge tolls. I don't think you have any of the latter here, but voter-approved sales taxes, the standard that has been held up for the distribution of the state-local partnership.
Don, just one more question. Out of all this money we're talking about, out of all these bonds we're talking about, okay, if I was to ask you just one question, how does that impact this county, and what do we get out of all this?
Well, I have great confidence in your legislators, Supervisor. And I also believe that the statement that I made somewhat facetiously a minute ago probably has to be made more seriously. I think that the leadership and the administration is going to go to some great lengths to make sure that every county gets a share of the bond money. Now, you may not get a share out of every bond, but you will get a share of the bond money.
The legislature has great latitude in Proposition 84. They have a substantial amount of latitude in Proposition 1C. So to the extent that you're not eligible for one bond measure, you should be eligible for another. I think you will also get money out of Proposition 1E just because of the terms of the proposition itself makes it available in the Central Valley, and I think your Forest Timber Creek project certainly would be eligible, I think, for the second round. I don't want to pretend you're going to get first round flood bond money because I don't think that's going to occur. I think the early implementation projects are going to go, as near as I can tell, to about five projects in Sacramento, San Joaquin, Yolo, and Yuba counties. But I think that in the second round and in the third round, this county will be able to get money. Can't give you a number, Supervisor, but
okay.
I have confidence in your legislators that you'll be that they'll make sure you get treated fair.
Okay, you want to talk just one more thing?
Sure.
In a suspense file.
Yeah.
That sounds like to me that's put away someplace.
Yeah, well, you got it right. That's a gimmick, a very undemocratic gimmick that was adopted by the legislature about, well, I can tell you exactly because I was working there, about 26 years ago. And when bills get to the appropriations committees, the bills are put onto what's known as a suspense file. It was put there originally so that the members of the Appropriations Committee and the leadership could look at the budget that was about to be passed, weigh the other spending bills that are not included in the budget, and see how much money was actually going to be available from the budget to spend on these other spending bills. Over the years, it's gravitated to a more partisan process where basically the leadership gets together and decides which bills will pass off the suspense file and which don't. It's not quite as undemocratic as I make it sound, but it certainly does not subject these committees to anything like the Brown in their...
So they put it away and so it can die. They put it away so it can die a quiet death.
In some instances, that's the case. I think at one point it got, I don't want to belabor this, but at one part of the recent history of the legislature, when an individual knew that his or her bill was going to go on a suspense file, they would simply waive presentation, basically saying, here's my bill, let me know what you do with it when you decide. Senator Parada, the President Pro Tem of the Senate, has instituted practice this year and said, can't do that anymore. Can't do that. The fiscal attributes in a piece of legislation are extremely important. We need to know how much these bills are going to cost, and we have to debate them. So, Senator, you've got a bill. You come before the committee. Be prepared to discuss it, and be prepared to talk about how much it's going to cost, where you think the money is going to come from, and why you think we have to give this particular bill some greater position in budget allocation over all the other bills we're considering. It's a unique parliamentary maneuver. It's unique to the California legislature. I don't know that I know of any quite like it anywhere else. But it was done at a time when the budget was extremely tight, and the leadership wanted to make sure that they were able to control the number of spending bills that were passed and that the spending bills did not exceed the budget allocations.
Thank you.
Now you know more about that than you ever wanted.
Any other questions? Mr. Peterson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda tonight is public comment period. If anybody wishes to address this board on any item that is not on the agenda, now is the time to do so. Seeing no one, we'll move to consent calendar. Is there any item anybody wishes to remove for a separate discussion or separate vote? If not, is there a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Being that we're past the time of 6:40, a scheduled item, we'll adjourn the Board of Supervisors meeting and convene the Redevelopment Agency Mr. Freitas.
We'll present most of these items to you this evening. And with that.
Okay. First item is a consent calendar. Again, is there any item anybody wishes to pull? Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Motion by agency member Monteith.
Second.
Second by agency member Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Appears we're moving to item 6B.
Good evening, board members. I'm Chairman O'Brien. Before you have a request by Habitat for Humanity for purchase of a property out in one of your redevelopment sub-areas, the airport neighborhood. As you see before you, it is on the corner of Santa Rita and Tamea. The property in question is 344 Santa Rita. And what we are planning to do with your consideration here is to purchase a property, expend $60,000 of the housing certified funds to Habitat for Humanity. A local family will be picked for this property to become the homeowners, first-time homeowner. And like I said, this is a move forward in affordable housing and also part of the overall redevelopment strategic plan for the airport neighborhood. And what you have before you is the empty parcel. The parcel that we're going to purchase right now, there's nothing on there, as you can see. The $60,000 will pay for the purchase. It came in for an appraisal of $100,000, and we would assist with $60,000 to purchase, so we're buying it for less than the value. What Habitat is planning to do is they've been donated a home, as you on the next slide. They will be reconstructing it, the sweat equity from the chosen family, and they will move in hopefully within, we're hoping within a year. If there's any questions on this item, we also have the executive director from Habitat for Humanity here. With that, I have staff recommendation for approval to authorize the expenditure of $60,000 of housing set-aside funds to the purchase of one single-family lot in the airport neighborhood.
Are there any questions of staff? Is there anybody from the public wishing to speak on this item? Is there a motion to proceed?
Move.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item 6C.
The next item that we have for you tonight is a request for funds received by the agency from the Crow's Landing Community Services District. What we have before you is a $26,000 request for financial assistance. What occurred here was last summer there was a, as you know, the water system out in Crow's Landing is aging and deteriorating. What occurred was there's two wells and one actually malfunctioned and oil was leaked out into the distribution system. This caused for a health and safety issue. That community services district responded by contracting out and with Hawk Systems. They quickly responded. And what occurred was they repaired the water system. The invoice came in and now they're requesting $26,000 to cover for the financial portion of this project. Again, staff has before you consideration for an approval for a loan agreement for the Crow's Landing Community Services District for financial assistance for the water system. And I also like to include what it is. It will be a simple interest loan for 1% for 20 years. And you also have an attachment B, the loan agreement, and also the request from the agency. And today we also have the Community Services District Manager Ignacio Lopez in the audience if you have any additional questions.
Are there any questions of staff?
I just have a few comments, Mr. Chairman. I am familiar with the problem in Crow's Landing. I would like to tell the board that this is a very small water district that has had numerous problems through the years. Some of the infrastructure is 90 years old,
These pumps, one of these pumps had failed. There was another one that went out last winter also. But the contractor in Hawk Systems has not been fully paid. And without this loan, and this is not a gift, and it is a loan, it would put the Crow's Landing Community Service District in some pretty dire financial straits.
Any other questions? Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Bring it back to the board. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
A motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item 6B.
Okay, the next and last item that we have before you is the 2007-2008 Budget for the Redevelopment Agency. Pretty straightforward. It's a $4 million budget, actually $4,039,427. Before you, you have the debt service. This covers payments that we have on longstanding and also short-term debt, Shackelford, Bret Hart payments, Salida, also the Keys tax allocation bond for a total of $1.8 million. We plan to also continue our program for cleanups. Over the last year, we did a cleanup out in Salida, West Modesto, South Ceres, Airport Neighborhood, and several alleys. And what we've come up with is over 90 tons that we've eliminated over the last year. And this year we're proposing $30,000 for that program. Salida Boulevard, we have $165,627 for the partnership with Public Works to do a design improvement project out in Salida Boulevard. Next item would be housing-related activities. This will help continue programs that we have currently in place, such as our down payment assistance program, minor home repair, sewer connection programs. Next item is administration. This covers fees for our redevelopment attorney, as well as staff and other services. The next item is a key storm drain project, and this will actually cover for construction portion for this next upcoming fiscal year. Item number 7 is economic development, and what this covers is workforce development type programs, health and safety issues, projects such as the one previously brought forward, such as the community services district, and also our continuation of our small business loan program. Our last item there is the airport neighborhood project. This will cover a portion of the design work that will be done in the upcoming fiscal year for curb, gutter, sidewalk, and this is merely to start it for design work. Again, the budget is a total of $4,039,427. If there's any questions, staff recommends adoption of the budget for next fiscal year.
Are there any questions of staff? Any member of the public wishes to speak on this agenda item? Is there a motion to proceed?
I'd like to move approval. Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on this agenda is public forum. If anybody wishes to address the redevelopment agency, they may do so now. And seeing no one, we'll adjourn the redevelopment agency and return to the Board of Supervisors meeting. And I believe we're on to item B6, approval for the Alliance Board next to accept Governor's 15% discretionary funds.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. I'm Jeff Rowe, Director of Alliance WorkNet. We have a phenomenon in Stanislaus County, and actually in the Central Valley, of work jobs that are going unfilled and yet a 7 to 8% unemployment rate. The reason for that phenomenon is that there is a skill gap between what the businesses in the valley need for workers and what our workforce has. To date, we've tried to address that through various kind of piecemeal approaches. We've trained 20 mechanics here, 30 medical assistants there, and tried to address some of those skill gaps. But if we're really going to address that skill gap and make a difference and lower our unemployment rate in the valley, we need to make some systemic changes to the infrastructure, the education and training infrastructure that's in place. And that's what this grant will help us do. What we are proposing to do with this money is not, it's not rocket science, it's a pretty simple, logical approach, but it is a lot of work, and I think that's why nobody has tried to do it to date. So what we would like to do is, first of all, start out by surveying businesses across the valley in five targeted occupational areas, find out what their needs are as far as the skills of their workforce, and gather that information. Then with that information, look at the education and training programs that are already in place, and more importantly, look at what education and training programs are not in place, what the gap is there between the programs that are needed and the skills that are needed for the workforce. And then with that information, we plan to go to the educational institutions, the training institutions everywhere from the high school vocational education programs, the ROP programs at the high schools, the community colleges, the university system, the college system, and the private vocational providers and say, hey, this is where we need training programs if we're going to develop the workforce that and with the skills necessary for them to compete for the jobs that are out there. And that information would then be placed on a website that anybody can go to, and they can see what the skill requirements are for the jobs that are out there in our community, and then they can also find out where they can go to get the training to be eligible for those jobs. So that is probably the major initiative that would be accomplished with this grant. Another major initiative is that we would develop a region-wide work-ready certificate that the workforce, people in the workforce that are looking for jobs would be able to take to employers, and it would verify to those employers that these individuals have the skills necessary to do the job that they're applying for. And this is done through the WorkKeys program. It's a program that we're already implementing in Stanislaus County, but with this grant we would spread that region-wide across the valley. We know that people do not, they cross county lines, county boundaries when they go to work. They cross county boundaries when they go to school. And so we think that a regional approach is the most effective way to address this skill gap. There's probably about five smaller initiatives that are also included in this grant, and I'm not going to take your time this evening going into detail on those. But the Alliance WorkNet was selected by this 10 county consortium, and includes 8 workforce investment boards to be the fiscal agent to receive this money and to make sure that this these projects are implemented region-wide. And so we're asking you this evening for approval to accept this grant on behalf of this 10 county, 8 workforce investment board consortium.
Are there any questions of staff?
You know, Jeff, I got one. Out of this $1 million you're talking about using, how much is going to be set up for create a just-in-time training voucher fund? How much money are we going to spend? Well, not me. How much money are you going to spend looking into the problems, and how much money are you going to spend putting into a fund that will actually train these people?
Yeah, the just-in-time training voucher fund is not going to require any money from this grant. It's not going to use any money from this grant. There will be a little bit of a coordination effort that will take place, and my staff will be responsible for making sure that businesses know about the availability of this money, but it's actually going to be funded through a state program through the Employment Training Panel. They have set aside initially $500,000, and they say if we use that in the 2-year period of this grant, there'll be more coming, and that money is going to go to the community college system and businesses that want to establish a training program for their workers can then go apply to a community college. It's supposed to be a very quick and easy type of an application that can be approved in about a 48-hour turnaround and get the money to put those training programs in place.
So you're going to spend $1 million on just finding out what we need?
Now, there's, like I said, there's about 8 initiatives. Part of it is going to go to the survey and finding out what we need.
Okay.
Part of it's going to go to establishing, implementing this work key work readiness certificate. Another initiative is that we're in 2 pilot areas, we're going to establish a manufacturing certificate program that certifies individuals that they are eligible for specific jobs in the manufacturing industry. That's something that's been done across the country in other areas, and we want to pilot that and the valley in 2 areas and see if that works for us. I could go through each of the
You don't have to go through everything. I'm just trying to find out when we spend $1 million, okay, I mean, I just want to know, are we going to spend $1 million just looking into everything, or is there some point that there's going to be some keys to do some of these things? Or does that fund come from someplace else?
Well, you know, this grant is a little bit different than some of the other grants that we've received, that we actually paid for people to go to training programs. This one, like I said earlier, is really about making changes in the infrastructure that we have in place so that we don't have to continue to ask for this grant money to train people. The training programs are out there in the high schools, the RP programs in the community colleges, that are already, for the most part, publicly funded in one way or the other. And so people at all levels, from high school on up to adults, can access these programs through the normal publicly funded kind of education systems that we have in place. So it really is kind of different in that way, and that there's not really any money per se from this grant that is going to go specifically to training any one individual. It's just to establish the infrastructure so that we have those programs in place.
May I have a comment? Well, it's my understanding that what you're doing is setting up a program where you go about and talk to the businesses and ask what they need, and then train people accordingly, versus programs in the past where we have a training program, but we've never verified if there were jobs that we were training them for. This is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, we're taking a business demand driven
approach. Right. Rather than setting the agenda, we go out into the business world and they set the agenda for their needs, and then we respond.
Right. We're actually going to hire a professional survey company to talk to the businesses about what their skill needs are, and then use that information to, like I said, first determine whether or not there's programs out there already that can address those needs. But we know that there's not programs to meet all of those needs. And so then it's a matter of taking that information, going to the education and training providers and saying, hey, this is what the businesses need. You need to put together programs that are going to respond to this business need.
We fill a void rather than just go ahead and train.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just one that I had. You listed the 5 industries that you're going to target, you know, agriculture, of course, and I'm familiar with the problems there, healthcare. But this renewable energy, I wondered why you targeted that industry, because I'm not aware that very many people work in that industry.
Yeah.
Can you give me some examples of some of these companies you're going to talk to?
It's not big, especially in Stanislaus County. I agree with that. But we have to keep in mind that this was a regional project, and there were a couple of the other counties, especially in the southern part of the region, that felt very strongly that renewable energy was an up-and-coming occupational cluster for them, and kind of in deference to them, that was added to the list, and there was a thought that maybe in the future for us, that's kind of a stretch kind of occupation that we would, we know that everything you hear, that's up and coming, and that maybe in the future that might be an area that we look at trying to attract businesses in Stanislaus County. So that's why that's on the list.
Okay. I was wondering about that one when I read it over the weekend, because I can't think of any industry. You couldn't think of a single company.
Yeah, we are actually, there is actually a solar energy company that's looking at that, locating in Stanislaus County. So that would count as a renewable energy. So, you know, maybe there is a potential in the future for that.
Supervisor Crawford?
If I could just add to what Mr. Rose said regarding that renewable energy. UC Merced has targeted an engineering program for renewable energy and have in fact hired one of the professors that's considered to be a leading professor in renewable energies. So I think a lot of the impetus for this came out of that governor's partnership for the San Joaquin Valley, and not only looking at solar energy, but the methane, that opportunities that are there for the dairy industries, wind power, and they're just wanting to make it a center of attraction there at UC Merced, and there'll probably be some surrounding counties to get the benefit of that.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I was just trying to identify a single company that that would apply to.
Okay. Any member of the public wish to address the board on this issue? Seeing none, is there a motion?
So moved. Sorry.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you
very much.
Brings us item B7, approval to discuss the request from the fire districts.
Yes, I understand that Tom Burns, who is the chair of the SUIDA fire district, will be speaking to the board today. I would like to compliment the six fire agencies that are working together to define potentially an alternative service delivery model that might assist us in developing a service delivery platform to serve the unincorporated area in specific geographic regions.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson, Chairman of the Board. I'm here tonight on behalf of the directors and chiefs with the Mountain View, Oakdale Rural, Woodland Avenue, Westport, West Stanislaus, and Salida Fire Districts, all of whom have representatives here tonight. Each of these agencies has passed a resolution requesting an opportunity to form a partnership with the county for the purposes of seeking long-term solutions and ensuring the viability of the fire service into the future. The challenges facing each fire district are many and are not unique to this county. No single district can meet all of the challenges alone. The ramifications of failure, however, are of statewide importance, as evidenced by the support and presence here tonight of the chiefs from CAL FIRE, Santa Clara Unit, and Tuolumne County Unit, both of whom support this request, and both units are members of the JPA with the rest of the districts in the county. Our intention coming to you tonight is to form a committee to draft an action plan and have an action plan in place by July of this year. We are ready to move forward and invite the county to join us. Thank you for your time, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions or comments?
Comments? First of all, I'd like to thank you very much for asking us to join in addressing this issue, and I commend you in addressing the issue with the challenge we have. It's very difficult. We know it's a challenge, but we do appreciate the fact that you've asked us to join you, and hopefully we can make a contribution in resolving your problems, or our problems, not yours, ours.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Other comments? I just want to kind of echo the same comments that I truly believe we have a huge issue in fire service, fire delivery in this county. And it's going to take all of us to come together to look at different avenues to solve the issues. And we need this request. We need the fire districts to say, okay, we're ready to start looking at what long-term solutions there are. I don't want this to think, okay, we're coming to the Board of Supervisors, it's going to be for money, or it's going to get the Board of Supervisors into fire service. And that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking at saying, hey, how can we work together to take a look at the issues and see if we can collectively come up with solutions? And so I'm excited to move forward.
And that's our intention. Our intention is not tonight to come out with our hands out and say, you know, give us pour money into this. That's not what we're here for tonight. What we are trying to do is come up with reasonable solutions that will meet our goals now and in the future. and prevent disasters and prevent you from having to possibly get back into the fire service when everybody goes bankrupt or everybody can no longer provide service.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any member of the public wish to address the board on this issue? Staff has requested that this gets referred to the Board of Supervisors Ad Hoc Committee on Public Safety. Is there a motion in the...
I'll move to staff recommendations and the agenda.
All right. I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay. We'll move on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Patterson Frozen Foods Corporation updating their plans to initiate a plant closure of its frozen food processing, warehousing, and harvesting operations located at 100 West Las Palmas Avenue, Patterson, California, per the Worker Adjustment and Retaining Notification Act, and is expected to take place within a 14-day period beginning June 5, 2007.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet, stamp of the Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Just briefly, you and I participated in a city-county monthly meeting with the City of Modesto this week.
Very good. And I also want to report that Supervisor Grover and myself made a trip to El Dorado County to take a look at recycled water systems, something that probably every community in California is going to be forced to do at some point, also known as the Purple Pipe. And even though no county expenditures were spent, I just felt we needed to report that.
I could make a comment about B7. I think I forgot to see the light was on.
I didn't see the light. I apologize, Supervisor.
Yeah. I just was in full support of this, and I think that the fire districts and the county should be working together for long-term solutions. Some of these rural fire districts in particular are severely underfunded, and anything that the county can do to help them survive, whether it's sharing resources or whatever we can do to work together. And as we try and bring in industry into Stanislaus County, one of the things they're going to look at is going to be the fire service. And we can't say, please come to Stanislaus County, we want you here, but by the way, we can't supply any fire service for you. So we have to work together to do better what we in the present situation.
Very good. Any other reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
I did want to address two bills with you today. The first is Senate Bill 59, a Cogdill bill. I would indicate to you that I will be sending a letter under my signature in support of SB 59, which would propose the construction of surface water storage facilities. And we'll be returning to you for full support for Chairman's signature for this bill in the week ahead. I felt it was important to get on record as quickly as possible, as this bill may come out for second consideration here in the next couple of weeks. Additionally, one of the provisions that Don Peterson had mentioned, the provisions of the governor's budget that Don Peterson had mentioned, was the elimination of the Williamson Act subvention. We'll also be sending a letter under my signature in opposition to this $1.6 million funding loss in Stanislaus County, and we'll also be returning this matter to you in 1 week so that we can properly agendize it, requesting your support for the chair's signature to support restoring the Williamson Act funding. As all of you know, it's a critical component in support of preserving agricultural lands. And we are highly dependent on agriculture for the success of Stanislaus County's economy. One final point that I would like to bring to you this evening is just a very quick summary of what we've been doing on the Crow's Landing Ad Hoc Committee. We will be returning to you, or coming to you, on June 5th with a full report Among the items that we'll be speaking with you and requesting your concurrence on is a 12-month negotiating timeline schedule that the ad hoc committee members are going to recommend out to you. Project footprint and study area, which has been identified and tentatively approved, pending Board of Supervisors final approval, and then finally, pre-development agreement, which defines the terms of the next 12 months, steps in terms of the next 12 months, which will include both the timeline and schedule and the project footprint as components of the pre-development agreement. So we are making progress, and we're anxious to get this before you for full board discussion, and again, that'll be on June 5th.
This meeting is adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, I have a closed session announcement. Prior to the meeting, the board went into closed session earlier this evening. It's conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. The litigation is Modesto Irrigation District versus a number of individuals, Superior Court Action Number 613745. The county is also named in that action. This is an eminent domain action by Modesto Irrigation District that pertains to electrical transmission line connecting MID-TID switching station at Wesley with the Rosemore substation in Modesto. Staff has recommended the board take action and do a disclaimer in that matter, and the board on a vote, motion by Supervisor Mayfield, second by Supervisor DeMartini, unanimous decision by the board did authorize staff to file a disclaimer in the matter, meaning that the county has no interest in the litigation.
This meeting, Mr. Chair.